Amen and good morning, everybody. How is everybody doing this morning?
Great.
You're supposed to say fantastic. All right. I was told, I think it was this week, maybe it was last week, I was told I say that word a lot. But it's a good word. So you're doing fantastic. I hope you guys all had an easy time this morning getting up, getting the babies ready, cleaning up the spit up. Changing the diapers. I know Sherry has a hard time with Merle, but eventually he's going to mature enough and it's going to be okay. I hope this morning when you came in, the lemonade was cold and the coffee was hot and you guys had some sweet fellowship as you were coming in. And those of you that didn't come in until the service started, well, you just missed out. That's just the thing. You missed out on some great fellowship out there, on some food, on some lemonade, but you have an opportunity to do that after the service, and so we're going to let you do that again. But most of all, I hope that you've come this morning ready for God to show you something. I hope that you've come this morning ready to say, okay, God, what are you going to do in my life today for this next week? I hope that you've come this morning saying, I get to worship God this morning, And, by the way, my church is by far the best church around, so why wouldn't I want to be here, right? Praise God, he's done some great things. Something pretty important is happening this morning. Merle's talked about it already, but we're going to do Sunday school promotion. And so that's exciting because I've heard some of the younger adults were told that they're no longer younger adults, and they should change classes. I'm not going to name names, but I was told that. But more importantly, we have some kids. We have some young people that are going to have the opportunity to move up into the next class. And so that's always really exciting. And if you're a kid here this morning and you're not moving up into the next class, well, you know what that means? That means you're older than everybody else now. So that means you get to have the opportunity to be an example to the younger kids in your class. And that's such a great, great thing. And so I'm really excited about that. There's a couple of other things I want to just talk about really quick before I get into the message, because I think they're pretty important. First of all, on the table out there is a big stack of flyers. Now, here's the thing. This big stack of flyers shouldn't be here at the end of the day. And the reason I say that is everybody should take multiple flyers so that you can give them to your family, to your friends, because we're going to have a big community picnic right here at the church on September 7th from 4 to 6. We're going to have, it's all free, we're going to have hot dogs, we're going to have, I think they talked about potato salad and chips and drinks and cotton candy and snow cones and a bounce house, and so it's going to be a blast. We're going to have some games and things as well. So it's going to be really fun. But here's the thing. You have to invite people to come. Okay? Now this thing is for a couple of reasons. One reason is because I want to get to know people in the community. I already know you guys. Well, I know what you look like at least. But eventually I'm going to get to know you better. But I want to get to know more people in the community. And so we thought, what a great way for me to get to meet people in the community other than having a big party. And so we're going to have a big party, and so you guys have to invite people, like I said, your family, your friends, your coworkers. They don't have to have kids, but there's plenty of fun stuff for kids, but adults are going to have a lot of fun too. Sometimes the line for cotton candy there's more adults than there is kids. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and I want you guys to be a part of that. Like I said, there's like 100 flyers on that table out there. And so everybody should take at least one with you, preferably two. That way you can put one on your fridge and you can give one to somebody else. Okay, so that's what you got to do with those. The next thing I want to talk about real quick is the Bible app. So some of you guys have this thing on your Bible, on your phone. The people that actually love Jesus, they have the Bible app on their phone. That way they've always got God's word with them. Today, we've started something today where all of our notes that are on paper are also in the Bible app. So you just search for events, and then click Leaf River Baptist Church, And all the notes are going to be right there, so you can follow along on your phone. You can follow along with the note sheets in the back. You've got your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let us know, and we'll get you one. That way, everybody can follow along. Everybody can be on the same page. And the cool thing about the Bible app is you can save it. You can look back at it anytime on your phone. So it's a neat thing. And it's free, and that's what's even better about it. There's a church in Oklahoma that set this thing up, and it's great. I'm really appreciative to their ministry there. So with that said, let's talk about the church. We've titled this series, Be the Church, because Titus has a lot to say about being the church, about what a church is supposed to look like. And here's the deal. I know that the last few weeks, the last series that we went through there was a little bit heavy. And it really impacted some people in some great ways. And I am so encouraged by that, because as I've talked to people over the last few weeks, I've just been able to see what God's doing in your life. And that's really awesome. It's really encouraging. Keep the stories coming, because it keeps me going. Like, it's really cool. But because of that, I thought that this morning I would just kind of share some information, lay the groundwork for Titus, because Titus might get a little bit rough at some point too. So we're just going to kind of give some information, give some background on Titus this morning. So what we're going to do, what our hope is that we're going to go through Titus. We're going to see what Paul thought the church should look like, what Paul's idea of the church was, right? So Paul wrote this letter to Titus, and he left Titus in a place called Crete, because he wanted to set this church up, and he wanted this church to thrive. And by the way, this church was set up in one of the worst places in the world at that time. Okay, so just keep that in mind. And what I want us to do is I want us to look at that, and I want us to later on, I want us to see, what does that mean to us 1955 years later? I say 1955 years later because we actually know that this letter was written somewhere between 62 and 65 AD. Okay, so we actually know that based on historical data. Okay, that's not just a guess, some guy that guessed and said, let's just say that. No, we actually have manuscripts, we have things that date back to that time frame, and so we actually know that that's where it came from. And so today I'm going to give you a little bit of reference material as we prepare to look at this letter and what it means over the next few weeks. But here's what I want to do first. First, I want to ask you guys a couple of questions, and I don't want you to answer, but I want you to answer in your head, okay? Number one, what is the mission of the church? What is the mission of the church? Number two, what is the mission of Leaf River Baptist Church? Okay, so number one was, what is the mission of the church? Like, all Christians all over the world, what is our mission? And then what is the mission of this church right here that we worship in every week? And then finally, what is your mission as a Christian? What is your mission as a Christian? Why are you doing what you're doing? What are you doing? And these things are actually really important, because without mission, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know why we're doing what we're doing. And so if we understand why we're coming to church, if we understand why we're giving, why we're serving together, then we're going to be a lot more likely to join together and to do it even more, okay? We're going to be more likely to take it even more seriously in our own lives and in the church. Now, that's important, and I'm not saying that Leaf River Baptist Church is not taking things seriously, because I've seen a lot of you guys, I've talked to a lot of you guys, and I know that a lot of you guys are taking things seriously, but as a society, we definitely are not taking things seriously when it comes to church. As a society, as a culture that we live in here in America, here in Ogle County, we're not taking things overly seriously. But we have people that attend, and when I say we, I'm talking about the global church, but maybe it fits here too. We have people that attend if there's nothing better to do that day. We have people that give if they have a little bit left over in their wallet. We have people that will serve if they're bored, right? And so these are the things that I think isn't normal. It shouldn't be that way. We have people that expect the church to be their social club instead of a place to join together to worship Christ, to grow together as believers. Those are two different things. In previous church that I served in, one of the things that I attempted to do was figure out why people weren't getting attached to the church, why people weren't getting connected to the church. And in order to do that, the first thing I had to do was study people. It was begin to study what people were doing and how they were attached. Because we live in a society that's not attached to the church, right? We live in a society, I remember growing up, if you didn't go to church on Sunday, you were looked at like an oddball, right? But now, if you go to church on Sunday, you're looked at as an oddball, right? The culture has changed. We live in a different culture. So one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to study, how do I get people attached? How do I get people to be connected to the church? And the first thing I had to do in order to do that was study what people's attendance habits were. Like, how were people coming? How were people attached to the church? And you know what I found? I found that the normal attender, the average attender, attended maybe twice a month. That was normal. Like if you attended more than twice a month, you're a super Christian. Some people attended more, some people attended less. And I saw that and I thought, this is weird. And so what I did at that point is I reached out to other pastors all over the country and I talked to a lot of other pastors, and what I found out was that's normal. That's the normal attendance. Like, for most churches across the country, that's normal. Twice a month is considered a good attender. But here's the thing. I don't think that should be normal. I don't think that we should only attend every other week, right? I don't think we should put off getting together on a regular basis. And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit. For me, I know I can't wait to come on Sunday mornings because I get to see my spiritual family, right? It's like a mini family reunion every week, where we get together, we get to talk about what's gone on last week, we get to talk about what we're going to do this week, we get to talk about what God's doing, right? And we get to hear great stories like Aveline, who last week was saying, insurance isn't going to pay for my surgery that I really need, and this week she's saying, insurance is paying for my surgery that I really need. Like, we get to hear stories like that, and we get to be a part of stories like that. And so to me, it's exciting. It's great to come to church. I look forward to Sundays. Every Sunday, I look forward to it because I get to see people. I get to worship with my family, and I love it. But that's not the normal in the society that we live in. You see, to me, we have a mission as a church. We have a mission as Christians, and so we should be doing more. We should have more expectations. There's a guy by the name of Greg Ogden, and he wrote in a book called Transforming Discipleship. He says, as a member of Rotary International, if I missed 4 meetings in a row, I was automatically dropped from membership. I would dare say that the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ outstrips the mission of Rotary. Yet we tend to not set comparable expectations. Like, that hit me. When I read that, I was like, holy cow. Because, yeah, churches, I don't know, I haven't looked at, like, the membership rolls of Leaf River Baptist Church, but I know a lot of the churches that I've been a part of in the past had a membership roll of, like, 500 people and an attendance of, like, 50, okay? And so, because people didn't take it seriously, And so I read that and I thought, holy cow, what would it be like if a church actually took things seriously? What would it look like if there were actually expectations as Christians to be Christians? Like to do the things that God's called us to do, if we actually held each other accountable, because basically that's what Greg's talking about. He's talking about holding each other accountable. That's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks, is that actually Paul did set some expectations as he wrote the book of Titus. He did lay out some expectations, and he wrote a letter to Titus so that Titus would be able to set things up well, to be able to get the churches started right. And that's what we're going to look at. Now, I want to encourage you every week to read through the entire book of Titus. Every week as we're through this series. If you read through all three chapters, it'll take you like 10, maybe 15 minutes to read through everything. So every week read it. And the reason I say read the whole thing is that way you can have the context of where we've been and where we're going. Okay, so every week, I just want to encourage you guys to do that. With that being said, I want to tell you guys a little bit about this letter and a little bit of what we're going to see and why things are the way that they are. I want to kind of set the stage for you this morning. So the first thing we have to do in order to set the stage is figure out who is Paul. Paul's the guy that wrote the letter, right? And you guys know who Paul is. I know you guys know who Paul is. He's the guy that met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He's the guy that started off his life learning all of the Jewish customs. And then he found out about these Christians, these people following the way. And he decided that they were being heretical. They weren't doing the things the way that the Torah told them that they should do things. And so they should be killed because that's the penalty for doing the things that they're doing. So Paul, he was called Saul then. He actually went out to hunt Christians to put them to death by stoning them. Now, being stoned is not an enjoyable process, right? That's where people would take rocks of various sizes, maybe sometimes a pebble, maybe sometimes a huge, you know, hand-sized rock, and they would throw it at you until you died. That's a brutal way to die because you're tied up. You can do nothing. You can't protect yourself. You can't. So you're just, that's how people died by Paul's hand, by Paul's direction. But then, he had an encounter with Jesus that literally changed his life and changed the course, the path of his life. Much like a lot of you guys have had that same encounter with Jesus that has changed the course of your life, that has set your path on a path that says, I want to follow him for the rest of my life. And so later, what Paul did is later Paul led the way in missions. He was the first church planter. He was the guy, he was the first missionary that went like long-term mission routes that we have data on. But he was more than that. Because he actually became the agent through which God gave us much of what we know about Christianity today. He was the guy that God used to tell us the things that we need to know. Like he wrote most of the New Testament. That's Paul. Now, Paul spent about 13 years after his conversion studying and serving in various ways. He didn't immediately go out. He spent about 13 years studying and serving. And then he went on three missionary journeys that took him, and I looked this up this week, it took him to see Italy, what today's map would show Italy, Turkey, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, Syria, Asia, Albania, and Bulgaria, as well as some various islands around. Those are the and he walked these paths, right? And maybe he rode a camel occasionally, maybe he rode, they didn't have cars and jets though, right? So you know he's going by foot all of these places. And that took about 9 years. To do that. So for 9 years, he was going in circles around telling people about Jesus and starting churches in all these places. And while he was out, his goal was to teach about Jesus. That was his mission. His mission was to go out and teach as many Gentiles, as many non-Jewish people about Jesus as he possibly could. But he could also teach some Jewish people. Then he was in prison for about 5 years. And during that time, he spent 3 years traveling to Rome. And as he was traveling to Rome, he visited a lot of places. The boat had to stop in various places, and so he got to visit a lot of places, and Crete happened to be one of those places that he visited. But 65 AD, he was taken captive back in Rome, and ultimately he was killed in Rome. 2 Timothy is the last letter he wrote, and he wrote that from prison in Rome. The book of Titus, however, was likely written as he was traveling to Rome shortly after he visited the island of Crete. So shortly after, he leaves Crete, he sees what he needs to see, and then he wrote this letter. He wrote it after 1 Timothy, but before 2 Timothy. And Paul wrote this letter largely to give Titus instruction, to teach Titus, but also to let the people of Crete know who Titus was and why Titus has the authority that he has, why Titus can do what he's doing. And so that's why Paul wrote this letter, and he wrote it to this guy named Titus. And so that's the next question: who's Titus? And we don't know a whole lot about Titus, but what we do know, we know that he followed Paul for a long time. We know that he's someone that Paul considered a friend. We know that Titus was with Paul almost from the beginning, when Paul went to Jerusalem and they had this big argument with the courts, with the councils in Jerusalem, where they were talking about circumcision and the Gentiles being circumcised. And that Titus is not a Jewish guy. Titus is a Greek person, and he's a Gentile. He actually came to faith through the ministry of Paul at an earlier time. In 48 AD, he went with Paul to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's Crete? We know who Paul is. We know as much as we can know about Titus. So what's Crete? What's up with Crete? Why did Paul need to send Titus to Crete? Well, Paul saw some things that were troubling to him when he visited Crete. And this caused him to feel the need to leave Titus there, because he knew that Titus could handle some tough situations. He knew that Titus would have it figured out. Crete was an island in the Mediterranean. There was a group of Christians who likely came to faith earlier in the apostles' work, but they kind of mixed what they knew to be true about God's, what they knew to be true about God's, with what they had heard now about Jesus and the real one true God. They were never discipled properly, so they married these beliefs. And what we see in this introduction is really important to this group of people in Crete, because in verse 2, Paul makes a claim that God does not lie. Now, that's important. And to us, we read that and we're like, well, yeah, of course, God doesn't lie. But to the people of Crete, that's a big deal, because they actually had a belief that Zeus was born in Crete. Zeus is from Crete. And what they knew to be true about Zeus is that he was a liar, he was a manipulator, he was a person that took advantage of women, and he was just kind of a nasty god. But their claim to fame was that Zeus is from here. Zeus was a Cretan, okay? That's what they were excited about. And so when Paul made this claim that there's a God who does not lie, well, that's a new thing for them. Because all that they know is a God that is a liar. A God that doesn't actually do the things that they think he said. Now, we know that Zeus doesn't actually exist, but they thought he said certain things. This is totally different from the God that Titus is representing. So let's look at this passage again, Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We're going to look at this again. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. In his own time, he has revealed his word in the preaching with which I was entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. This is where it gets important. This is where things begin to get important. Because we live in a society that's not exactly a friend to God. We live in a society that's not exactly a friend to God. We've seen over our last series in James that all of us, left to our own desires, actually become an enemy of God. We've seen that. That's what we all do. All of us are worshiping something. Sometimes it's God, sometimes it's something else. But we're all always worshiping something. And if we're not instructed, if we're not studying, if we don't know who God is, if we're not carefully focusing on God, then we will all begin to marry what we know to be true, what we think we know to be true, with the things that we hear randomly. You know, the things like God helps those who help themselves. The things like cleanliness is next to godliness. Like, we begin to marry what we read in the Bible with all these other things that we happen to hear, and we put these things together, and then we're no longer actually worshiping God. We're worshiping something else. And that's the society that we live in. Sometimes we put the things that we wish were true, and we begin to believe that they are true. The people of Crete, as we're going to see later on, are known to be evil, lazy, gluttons, and liars. That's just what they are. They're known for that. Like they're famous for that. And this is important because if they're self-identifying as people that don't need God because they have it figured out, because they're living a great life from their perspective, so they don't need God, well, then we can begin to understand what Titus is up against. Titus is a guy that's there trying to set up a church for a place that doesn't think that they need God, for a place that thinks that they're happy with the way that it is. Even for the churches there that have begun to marry, that have married what they thought to be true about Zeus and various other things with what they know to be true about God, with what they've heard to be true about God. And so they've kind of mixed up their theology and mixed up their doctrine so much that maybe they're not even actually worshiping God anymore. And this is what Titus is up against. This is what Titus gets to deal with. Now, who can tell me how our society feels about God? Do you guys know what our society, the society that we live in today, how it feels about God? It feels like if you're a Christian, you're a bigot. Right? Like, that's the thing, that's what's known to be true. Christians are small-minded people that don't know any better and are just following some, you know, fairy tale. That's what society says. That's not the truth, but that's what society says. Well, I looked up Ogle County this week. In Ogle County church attendance, I was specifically looking for that. And you know what I found? I found in Ogle County, there's 61 churches. 61. Now, not all of those are actually Christian churches, but they're churches. Some kind of a religious entity. There's 61 of them. Now, I, just from my own guesswork, basically, I averaged 150 people per church. Some people less, some churches more, some churches less. So I averaged 150 people per church. And that came up with just under 10,000 people attending church on any given Sunday morning. Just under 10,000 people in Ogle County. Now, do you guys know how many people live in Ogle County? It's like 51,000. What does that tell you? That tells you that 80% of this county doesn't attend church anywhere. Now, when we look at like Christian churches that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that's closer to like 48, I think it is. Rain has been doing some research for me and finding some churches, and I think it's like 48 churches that we would consider to be like-minded churches. So that drops that number even less. That's the society that we live in. So that's we begin to see ourselves living in the same culture, actually, as Paul and Titus were in Crete. Right here in Ogle County, in northern Illinois, we begin to see ourselves as living in the same type of environment as they lived in Crete. There were some that worshipped God, but there were more that did not. Many people are coming in and pretending to be teachers of the scriptures, but they would add their own spin to things so that they would grow their own influence. And we all know people that have attempted to grow their own influence by preaching somewhere, or attempted to grow their own financial capacity by preaching in a certain way, by doing certain things. There's pastors in our society that do that, right? We live in a culture where people will add to scriptures what they want in order to build their own influence, their personal influence. Then there's genuinely good people that are simply misguided, or they've been mistaught, so they live in such a way as they build up their own worship instead of the worship of God, just because they've not been taught properly. Because those of us that do know the truth, maybe we haven't told the truth to others. There are churches in our community that have embraced certain sins in order to attract people and build up their fame. Right here in Ogle County, there's churches that have done that. There are churches in this community that have been misled into thinking that some things need to be added to Scripture or some things need to be removed from Scripture. That's a real thing right here in Ogle County. And this is exactly the type of thing that Paul and Titus were dealing with in Crete. They were living in a culture that by all accounts was the worst of the worst. And I know those of us here this morning would say, Ogle County is calm. It's not a bad place to live. It's beautiful. It's a great place. People are nice. People are friendly. But the question is, are they worshiping God? Or are they worshiping something else? Do they welcome the truths of God? Or do they say, well, that's fine for you, but I don't need it, because I've got life figured out. See, that's the society, that's the culture that we're living in right now. And Paul made a claim that there is a truth that will bring eternal life. And that truth was given by a God who never lies. To the people of Crete, that's scary. Because they don't understand what that means. They don't understand what that is. So what does this mean to me? What does this mean to me almost 2,000 years later? Like, that was good stuff for them, but what does it mean to me? What does it mean to Leaf River Baptist Church? Well, there's some pretty big similarities as we've seen between Crete and Ogle County. There's some real similarities there. Crete's a place that worshipped many things, just like Ogle County is a place that worships many things, right? Crete's a place that had many types of worship, just like Ogle County has many different types of worship. Crete's a place that had churches that were being misled, just like Ogle County has churches that are being misled. Finally, Crete was a place that had mixed worship of God in with worship of culture, just like some of the churches in Ogle County. really the thing that is true of Crete. All the things that are true about Crete are actually true about our society, no matter where we live, no matter what county we live, no matter what state we live in. The things that were true of Crete are true of where we live. But we live here. We live in Ogle County, which means that our focus needs to be on being the church right here in Ogle County, because this is our home. This is where we live. And if you can see the similarities, then you can also see the possibilities that we've been given here. Titus had a rough road ahead of him, and Paul knew that. But Titus also had some amazing opportunities to be able to see God work in big ways. What if you were left here in Ogle County with a mission as well? What if we took Paul's introduction to Titus and understood that this letter was actually written specifically to Titus at that time, but the truths of that letter apply to us almost 2,000 years later? What if we lived our life in such a way that we could show people who Jesus really was, really is? We've been entrusted with the same gospel, and we've been instructed to share that gospel just like Paul was. That should be our mission. My mission is to share the gospel. Now, how am I going to do that? There's a variety of different ways to do that, but that's what I'm doing. That's my mission. What if we had the same amount of boldness that Paul had, that Paul instructs Timothy to have, that Paul instructs Titus to have, to share this message? That's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at what it means to be the church. What it means to be the church right here in Leaf River Baptist Church, and what it means to be the church in Ogle County. We're going to learn what this message is that Paul is giving to Titus. That being the church is more than just showing up to church on Sunday morning. That's going somewhere. That's maybe hearing a message, maybe learning a little bit about God, but being the church is more than just showing up on a Sunday morning. Being the church is who we are, not where we go. Now, I know that Leaf River Baptist Church has a pretty robust prayer ministry, and I've been excited to see the amount of people that come out on Wednesday nights to pray. And if you have the opportunity to come out on Wednesday night, it's amazing prayer time where we just gather together to pray about what's on our heart, to pray about the church, to pray about the community. And so I want to encourage you, if you have that opportunity, to come on out. I think it's at 6:30, right? 6:30 we meet every Wednesday night. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. But for today, I have something special for you. Today, everybody was given at least one card that says, "Be the Church," on it. It looks like this. It says, "Be the Church," and it says, "I commit to pray daily. I commit to pray for this person daily." And what I want everyone to do is write the name of somebody that you are going to commit to pray for every single day on that card. This could be a family member. This could be a coworker. This could be a neighbor. I don't know, whoever it is, whoever God brings to your heart, to your mind, you write their name down and you're committing to pray for them every single day. And so you take this card, you put it on your fridge, you put it on your car dash, you put it in your bedroom, you put it somewhere where you see it every day and you're reminded, "I'm going to pray for that person today." And you're going to pray that you have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. You're going to pray that somehow they can see Jesus through you in your interactions. You're going to pray that somehow they learn who Jesus is. You're praying for their salvation. If this is a person you care about, if this is a person that you care about, then write their name, because you don't want them to live a life without Jesus. So you write their name down, and you're going to pray for them, and you're going to commit to pray for them. You're going to commit to spending some focused time praying specifically for them. Because we've been left here in Ogle County in order to be used by God to point people towards God's truth. That's why we're here. We are the visible representation of an invisible God. We are Jesus. We allow people to see Jesus through us. The truth is that there's a mission that we've been left here to accomplish. You and I have each been left in this place, just like Titus was left in Crete. We've been left here in order to show others who Christ is. So if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, then Jesus actually lives in you. Jesus actually lives within you. And it's our responsibility, it's our job to allow others to see Jesus through us. Through our actions, through our words, through the way that we drive, through the way that we act when there's people in our way at the store and we're trying to get out of there because we're in a hurry, through the way that maybe we help plow someone else's driveway or shovel someone else's sidewalks or throw salt on someone else's sidewalk, through the way that we care for our neighbor as we carry their trash down to the curb. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But that's what we've been left here to do. We've been left here to point people to Jesus. Because we've been given a truth. And we shouldn't hold it inside. So I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to have a time of just family prayer together. And if there's someone on your heart in particular, and your heart is burdened for them, and your heart is broken for them, then I want you to sit still. I want you to just sit there and allow others to come around you to pray that God will work in whoever's life that this is. And if there's a health issue or a financial issue or a marital issue or a stress or a job or whatever it is, and you'd like some people to just come around you and pray, then I'm going to ask you to just stay seated and allow other people in your spiritual family here to come around and pray, to put their hands on your shoulder, to put their hands on your seat and just pray for you. Father God, I thank you for who you are and what you do in our lives on a regular basis, on a daily basis, how you bless us beyond comprehension. And God, there's people in all of our lives that maybe we've met recently or maybe we've known a whole lifetime, but they don't know who you are. They don't know what it means to follow the Jesus who died for them. And so, God, I want to ask that you give us the commitment, the courage, the conviction to pray for that person every day. To begin a pattern of praying for them that you will work in their lives. That you will use us somehow to impact their life. To care for them. To show them who you are. To allow them to see Jesus living through us. We love you, God. We love you, and we mess up sometimes. And so I want to thank you right now for all of us, for your continued grace and mercy as you carry us through the hard times, as you forgive us when we don't deserve to be forgiven. Thank you for that, God. In your name we pray. Amen.